Good morning. So I get the honor of reading some Bible verses today. If you want to follow along, it's going to be in the book of Psalms, which is right about the halfway point of your Bible. And we're going to start out in chapter 119, verses 9 through 18, and then we're going to skip ahead to verses 97 to 105. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Be good to your servant while I live, that I may obey your word. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Hey, this is an exciting Sunday, isn't it? There's a lot going on. A couple things I want to ask you. We asked our congregation to bring their Bibles this Sunday. If you brought your Bible this Sunday, would you hold it up? Kids, look behind you. Look at all these Bibles, people that have them at home, and they brought them to worship. And we would love for people to do that every week, because then you can read along as we read the scripture, which would be great. So thank you for bringing your Bibles. As you were coming in this morning, you saw scriptures on the screen. Those were your favorite scriptures. Can I tell you, we have never had such an overwhelming response for something on the participation form. Just a lot of scriptures came in, so thank you for that. And then finally, I want to tell you that after the service today, Marianne Kroll is in the gathering space at a table. And if you are trying to figure out what Bible to buy, if you need a new Bible, she has a bunch of samples and she would love to answer your questions. So feel free to stop there as you go out this morning. But now, could you bow your heads and let's pray. Holy and gracious God, it is Bible Sunday. And what an exciting day to receive a Bible. And we pray now, Lord, for our third graders. We pray for this time of the sermon. We pray that you would take these words and make them yours, because without you, these words are nothing. But with you, we may learn something new. We may discover more of who you are. And this I pray in the name of Christ. Amen. So it's exciting, isn't it? Where are my third graders? There they are. It's exciting to have a new Bible, isn't it? A new book. I love to get new books. I've always enjoyed getting a new book. I like it because you don't really know everything that's inside of it. It's like a treasure waiting to be opened. And it's all shiny, and then you're going to open it up, and you're going to read stuff, and it's going to be so exciting. And before too long, they're going to get cracked and used, and that is going to be very exciting. But I was thinking about this. I was thinking about the treasure that's inside of a Bible, and I remembered a story that I heard, and it's about a guy named Frank. Frank was a young man, who was a very nice young man, and he met a nice young woman, and they decided that they would get married, as sometimes people do. And Frank had a grandfather who he loved so much. And the thing is, though, in the family, everybody considered Grandpa a little bit crazy because Grandpa was religious. You know, Grandpa went to church every Sunday. Grandpa read this Bible a lot, and he would pray before meals, and he would talk about Jesus, and the family just thought that's a little bit crazy. But they loved him anyways, and so no one was surprised when Frank got married, and Grandpa gave Frank and his new bride this gift Bible. And it was beautiful. It was white and had gold on it. And it was just so lovely. And Frank opened the box and he looked at it and he said, "Oh my, this is beautiful. It's so beautiful. I'm going to put the cover back on." And he put it on the floor of their bedroom closet because he didn't know what to do with it, because it was just so beautiful. And, you know, he just didn't really know what to do with the Bible. So, but every time Frank and his wife would see Grandpa, Grandpa would say, "How's the Bible? Are you reading? Are you enjoying the scriptures?" And Frank and his wife would say, "Oh, yeah, it's great. Thanks, Grandpa." It got to be a little bit annoying because Grandpa would ask every time, "How's the Bible?" And Frank thought, you know, my wife wrote a lovely thank you note. We kind of did the thing you're supposed to do. You'd think he could let it go. And felt a little guilty that it was on the floor of the closet. Well, the years went by, 10, 20, 40 years go by. The Bible stays in the closet. It moves a little bit because kids come along and they grow up and then they eventually leave. 50 years go by. 50 years. This Bible is on the floor of the closet. And then life happens and Frank's wife dies. And Frank is going to move, so he's packing up the house, and he's going through the house, and eventually he gets to the closet in the bedroom, and he opens the door, and there on the floor of the closet is the box with the Bible in it. And he remembers his religious grandpa. And he said, "You know, my grandpa always wanted me to read that Bible." And so he said, "Maybe now is the time," and he sat down on the bed, and he opens the Bible, and he starts to flip through the pages because, you know, there's stuff in the beginning of it that tells you about the Bible, and he gets to Genesis 1. And there, nestled next to the word "in the beginning," was a $20 bill. Frank went, "Oh, my goodness," and so he kept flipping. And he flipped through the Bible. He got to Exodus 1, $20 bill. "Oh my goodness," Frank thought, and he starts flipping through the Bible, and he finds 66 $20 bills at the beginning of every chapter in the Bible. And Frank is telling this story, and he starts to laugh, and he says, "You know, the joke was on me. All these years, this Bible is in the closet full of money. Think what would have happened if I had invested all that money." And those of us that are listening to the story, to Frank tell the story, thought, "Oh, Frank, if only you knew the real treasure in the Bible. If only you had taken it out and opened it up and discovered the richness of the treasure inside this Bible. Imagine if Frank had known Christ 50 years earlier. What might Frank have been? What would have happened? What could he have gotten?" So the treasure in your Bible, the treasure in his Bible wasn't the money. It's the words that are inside it. Now, boys and girls, I see many of you flipping through your Bibles right now. There are no $20 bills in your Bibles. The treasure's on the inside of it, in the words. You know, I've been thinking about Frank and remembering about how these third graders, how you were going to get Bibles today, and it made me think about myself. It made me remember when I got a Bible and when I was 11 years old. I had a Bible for a couple years. I'm 11 years old. It's Christmas time, and my grandmother is coming for Christmas, and I love my grandmother. She was a lovely, lovely woman. She would come, and she got to sleep in my room, and she'd sleep in my bed, and I'd sleep on a cot. We'd have slumber parties every night she was there. Well, that Christmas, my mom got a new nativity set, and she was putting the old nativity set away, and I said, "Oh, can I have that?" And she said, "Sure." So I took it, and I set it up between the bed and the cot on a little table, and I arranged it. It was lovely. And then my grandmother came, and I said, "Grandmother, come with me. Let me show you what I've done." And she came, and I said, "Look at this." And she said, "Oh, Barbie, that's lovely." She said, "But you know, I have an idea. Why don't you get your Bible and put it next to the nativity set, and then every night when you read your Bible, you can do it by the nativity set." And I said, "That would be great if I knew where my Bible was." So I went looking through the bookshelves, and I found it, and I pulled it out, and I handed it to my grandmother. And she looked at it, and she gave me the grandmother look. She said, "This looks like it's never been opened." And I said, "Well, I don't actually read it, I mean, I listen to the pastor read it on Sundays. I listen to my Sunday school teachers read it, but I don't actually read it myself. And she looked at me and she said, if you don't read it for yourself, you don't know there's power inside of it. Thought that sounded a little odd, but she was my grandmother, and I loved her. So later that day, I went into my bedroom, and I sat on my cot, and I pulled my Bible out, and I sat next to the manger scene, and I opened the Bible to Luke chapter 2, and I read the words, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And Joseph went with his espoused wife Mary to Bethlehem, for they were of the house and the lineage of David. And as I read those words, and I sat next to that manger scene, something started to change inside of me. And I kept reading, and I got to the part where the angel said to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people." And I felt myself change, and I got warm, and I don't understand it, but I tingled. And it was just this feeling that was inside of me. And even today, when I say those words, the same thing happens. And that's when I had the first inkling that this book, this Bible that we read, is more than words. It's more than just stories. On that day, I began to understand that this book could help me with sixth grade. This book would help me survive two older brothers. This book would not only help me when I was 11, and I didn't know it then, but it would help me in the years to come. It's a treasure inside of this Bible, but I didn't know how to get the goodness that is here, in here, and in here. How do I do it? I saw, some years ago, I saw a comedy skit, and it was about Pop-Tarts. You know Pop-Tarts? Pop-Tarts? Yeah, you like Pop-Tarts, don't you? They are pastry with gooey, great, sweet fruit inside. And did you know there are instructions on the side of a Pop-Tart box for how to eat a Pop-Tart? Yeah, a little crazy, but there they are. And I just picture someone standing at the kitchen counter looking at this Pop-Tart and the little cellophane, you know how comes a little wrapper, going, how do I get that goodness inside of me? What do I do? I'll read the box. Step one, open the Pop-Tart. Step two, put it in the toaster. Step three, eat the Pop-Tart. Caution, contents may be hot. That's crazy, right, to have instructions how to eat a Pop-Tart? But let me tell you something. There are people in this very room that get a book, and it's called the Bible, and they don't know what to do. And they set it on a shelf or they put it in the floor of a closet, and they think, what am I going to do? How am I going to get this? I don't know what to do with it. So there's instructions. Let me tell you, it's very simple. Step one, open your Bible. Step two, read your Bible. Step three, think about what you read. But caution, contents may be hot. You see, sometimes when you read the Bible, you get all warm and tingly feelings, and that's wonderful. But sometimes when you read the Bible, it's hot, and you realize that God is saying to you, that needs to change. You need to read these words and think about what I'm telling you. So when you get these Bibles, how do you get this goodness inside of you? I want to take just a moment, and I want to show you a video that we made this week. And it talks about kind of how hard it is with the Bible. I will tell you that the video, there might be one or two things where I'm in it, I'm looking the wrong way, but I think you're going to get the gist. Can we show that video now? Take a look at this.
The Bible, the greatest book ever written, and the hardest one to read. I was given six Bibles from the time I was in third grade until I was a senior in high school. Six. For a long time, they just sat on my bookshelves, collecting dust. I didn't know what to do with them. Now, don't get me wrong. I grew up in church, and I went to Sunday school, and I heard the stories. But that's all they ever were, stories. Genesis, creation, the Israelites, David and Goliath, even Jesus and the resurrection. But I didn't get it. How did this apply to me? I guess I was overwhelmed and intimidated. And rightly so. Did you know it's not even one book? It's a collection. It's enormous. 66 books, over 1,000 chapters, and so many authors, written in ancient times over a span of 1,000 years, and copied and copied and copied. The word from God, inspired by God. And what does that mean? It is a good book, full of adventure, beautiful poetry, and the greatest love story ever told. I got it, but I didn't get it. It was confusing and a little boring. So-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so. I tried to read it like other books, cover to cover, but I didn't even get to Jesus, and he's the one I wanted to know about. I wanted to be faithful and be a good person, but how could reading the Bible really impact my life?
So that was the question I was asking myself. And I imagine that's some of the questions that you ask yourselves too. Some of you still out there today. There is goodness in this book. How do we get it inside of us? You know, back in that first book in Genesis, God creates humanity. And God creates us, and he says, we are very good. You can read all about it in the creation stories in Genesis. Boys and girls, have you ever had times when you wanted to do the right thing, but you didn't do it? Yeah, me too. Look at them. They're raising their hands. This is so true. It happens. Like you want to, you knock the lamp off the table and you say your dog did it. Or you say you read all your homework, all the chapters, but maybe you didn't do it. We all do that. Even adults do stuff like that from time to time. And so what happened was we were made to be good, but sometimes it's hard to be good. And we've struggled with that for a long time. So you know what God did? God gave us this book. And it's full of good things. It's full of goodness. And if we can get this stuff inside of us, we will do a better job. So that's the challenge. All of this goodness is available to us, but we don't know how to get it inside of us. But I have an idea. The psalmist wrote our scripture for today. He tells us some things that we could have if we read the Bible. Your commands are always with me. They make me, read the bold part with me, they make me wiser than my enemies. I have all my teachers. I meditate on your statutes. I have for I obey your precepts, which means your word, your Bible, your book. Wouldn't you like to be that person? You know, wiser than your enemies, more insight than your teachers, smarter than your elders. Who doesn't want to be that person? The psalmist goes on to say, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Last winter, one day, I was here at the church, and I was working late, and when I went to leave, I went out the front door, and it was very dark. And it was extra dark because all the lights were out. None of the parking lot lights were working for some reason. And I had parked my car at the very farthest end of the parking lot. And I couldn't see it. And I stood there and I thought, that's a long way to go in the dark. I don't know what's down there. And a friend came up behind me and he said, you know what, I've got my cell phone and it's got a flashlight on it. Let's walk together. And suddenly it was fine. I could walk through the dark because I had a light for my path. But here's what we know. Sometimes the darkness isn't this physical darkness. Sometimes it's the darkness of being scared of things. Or it's the darkness of not knowing what to do. That's when we need a light for our path. And this book can give us that light for our path. Parents, can I talk to the parents and the families for just a minute? I've been a parent. I'm a grandparent, I'm a pastor, and I can tell you, your kids need to learn to light their path. You've navigated babyhood, you've navigated toddlers, you're into early elementary school, and here they are, 8, 9 years old. They can pack their own lunches, they can make their bed, they can read a story, they can tell a joke. They are growing up right before your eyes. Your kids have entered what we call the age of reason. They're learning how to figure out for themselves what is right and what is wrong. They're moving from learning to read to reading to learn. They're about to enter, in just a few short years, middle school. And in middle school, the waters are sometimes calm and sunny, and sometimes they're turbulent and stormy, and they're going to need a light for their path. And you won't always be there to shine it for them. The interplay between your child and the Bible helps develop a conscience and morals. It will give them a compass to use when you're not around. Think of the treasure of knowing you have a light for your path even before it gets dark. So how are we to do this? I want to tell you a story of encouragement and hope. I want to tell you about a young woman in our student ministry here at Flores United Methodist Church. Her name is Alyssa. Alyssa Carty. She's 15 years old now, a freshman in high school, and she's taking world history. In that class, the teacher was talking, and the teacher was talking about the differences between Judaism and Christianity. And the students had a lot of questions and were confused. And so the teacher said, "Does anybody here, can they list the differences between Judaism and Christianity?" Alyssa, who grew up in our church, thought to herself, "I got this." She raised her hand, and she very respectfully shared some differences, about 10 of them. And among them, she said, in Judaism, Abraham is the main guy. In Christianity, Jesus Christ is the main guy. She said, "We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on a cross for our sins and rose again so that we might be with him forever." She's 15. The next class comes around. A bunch of kids had a lot of questions about Christianity. Alyssa's right in the middle of the discussion. She told me, "The Trinity was really hard to explain, but I did my best." She talked about forgiveness. She talked about the thief that was on the cross next to Jesus and how Jesus forgave the man and told him that he would be with him in paradise that day. I asked Alyssa how she felt during this, and she said, "It was a really cool experience. I just sat in the middle and the teacher stood back and let me talk. After class, a boy came up to me and said, 'Do you mean Jesus is real?'" Alyssa was a light for his path. I asked her, "How did you become so poised and equipped in your faith?" And here's what she said. "I guess it was really my family that began to equip me. We went to church when I was growing up, and I got a Bible and everything. We sort of stopped going when I was in 5th or 6th grade. But then it came time for confirmation, and I wanted to go, and my parents wanted to go, and so we started going. And then we all were going to church and started having family discussions about faith at dinner time. Then I went on the confirmation retreat here at Flores. It was awesome. In the summer, I went with the church on the Jeremiah Project for a mission trip. It was there I finally realized the important things in life, like knowing who Jesus really was. I started reading the Bible more. I know I'm still learning. It was at JP that I really accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior." She said, "We sang this song called Amazing Grace. Do you know it?" I said, "I do." She said, "We sang that contemporary one." And she said, "We got to the part where it said, 'My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me.'" And she said, "I tingled. Something changed inside of me. And I realized that I wanted what was in this book in my life." She said, I said, "Do you have advice for 3rd graders? Here's what she said to the third graders: if I could give them any advice, it would be to get involved in your faith as soon as you can. She said, I missed a couple of years, and I'm sorry for that. Get involved now. She's 15. Those are good words for all of us. Alyssa had a light for her path, and this church had been her lampstand. Her confirmation leaders have lit the way. Her mentor held the candle, and her parents have tended the flame. And now the light is her own. And that's what happens when together as the body of Christ, together here at Florist United Methodist Church, we tend the flames of these children and the light that will be on their path. Parents, if you will create spaces in your homes where you will have conversations about the Bible, conversations about Jesus, conversations about how to do life as a Christian, we will do our part. We will create spaces for conversation and dialogue. We will have Sunday school, and we will have kids program, and we will have student programming that will help your children learn how to light their path. Together, we can build a world where there will always be light on the path. We can build a world where together we remember that God created us good, very good. Now, as kids get older, the truth is, things shift a little bit. And they maybe would rather have other adults besides their parents than to talk to. And this is where all the church, all of us sitting here, all of us at home, these are our children. They're all of our children. And this is where we can especially step in. We want to be a part of getting the goodness into our children. And if we want to get the goodness into our children, we need to get the goodness into ourselves. And so a few simple steps. Come to worship. You're doing that. Come to worship, and all of your pastors, we promise that we will work hard on sermons, we will work hard on the content of worship so that we preach the Bible and the Word of God, so that we have a high Christology, so that everything is based on the foundation of Scripture. Number two, join a small group. The preparation and the conversation is where we learn and relearn the Bible stories. Number three, put what you learn in these groups and in worship into practice through servanthood. Did you hear Alyssa? She went on a mission trip and accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. Finally, read your Bible. There is goodness inside of it. Discover the riches of this treasure chest that you have been given. Don't take it home and put it on the floor of a closet and look at it in 50 years. God wants to speak to you now. Imagine sending our students off to middle school, off to high school, off to college, off into the world with a light that is on their path, a light that will shine when they don't know where to sit in the lunchroom, a light that will shine when they walk into that classroom and don't know anybody, a light when the really hard test comes along and they just need something to hold on to, a light when they choose a college, a light when they're deciding what to do with the rest of their lives, a light when they go out and they're looking for someone to spend the rest of their light with, a light that says, this is the way to walk. There will be pitfalls and stones in the path. That's part of what our life is. But if we have a light, we will not stumble and we will not fall and we will not get stuck in the pitfalls, because our way will be lit from inside. So boys and girls, you have a treasure in your hands. Open it and read it. Sit with your parents and your grandparents. And someday, we will all gather together in the great light of Christ and glory in the treasure that we have. Amen.